Good morning, everyone. We have been going through the wonderful book of Galatians. And through this book, Paul has been defending the truth of the gospel, which is justification by faith alone, without the addition of any works. That's what he has been striving for. That's what he has been battling for as he writes the words which we find in this wonderful book of Galatians. Previously, we had seen that justification is by faith, and Paul took the Galatians back to their past, to when it all began, when they were saved. He took them back to the past, and he also showed them the suffering that they went through as he took them through all of that, and then emphasize the fact and the truth that justification is by faith and not by the works of the law, which you are adding, he says to the Galatians. Oftentimes we find ourselves, even after becoming Christians, trying so hard to keep our relationship with God. But that goes against the fact and the truth that our relationship is stable and strong and doesn't have any chances of being shaken because of what Christ has done for us. Because of His righteousness, we have a standing with God which can never be shaken. But what we find ourselves doing is, through our good works, we try to gain that standing which has already been won by Christ. And therefore, Paul, in our passage today, helps us to understand that we believers of Jesus Christ, we who have believed in Jesus Christ, are already righteous, are already declared righteous by God the Father. We are already blessed when we believe in Jesus Christ. So shall we now turn our attention to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 6 to 9. It reads, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, so know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed in you.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." The theme and the title of today's passage is the blessing of faith, or I may put it in these words as well: the believer is blessed. It is the believer, without any addition of works, who is blessed of God, who has the favor of God. It is the one who has faith, and there is no addition of works toward that. I have divided this passage into two very simple outlines. The first is from verse 6 and 7, and it is this: believers are sons of Abraham. Believers are sons of Abraham. And we see that in verse 7, where Paul says, "So know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham." Then the second point is, believers are blessed with Abraham. And we find that in verse 9, where Paul again says, "So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." These two points brings out the truth that the believer is blessed. It shows us the blessing of faith, of believing in Jesus Christ. Let's take the first one, which we find in verse 6 and 7. Believers are sons of Abraham. Paul follows a very simple sequence. He goes to Abraham and he uses Abraham as an example to bring out a very essential truth which he lays forth for us in verse 7. Paul begins by saying, just as. He's now doing a comparison between us who have believed and between Abraham who also have believed. And he begins verse 6 by saying, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, he says. It is a comparison with Abraham. This is a reference. This verse 6 is a reference from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Shall we now turn to that passage? Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Let us begin this by reading from the first verse of chapter 15 of Genesis. It reads, after these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, O Lord Yahweh, what will you give me as I go on being childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, since you have given me no seed to me, behold, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this one will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and number the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. What do we find in these five verses? We find the context that Abraham and Sarah was childless when this happened. And here God comes to Abraham in a vision and promises to him certain things. He says to Abraham, your heir will be someone who will come from your own body. He also says to Abraham, as he points him to the stars and then says, your seed will be like the stars in heaven. And how does Abraham respond to these things? We find that in verse 6, which reads, then he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That's what the text says. And this is the very text that Paul quotes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. When did Abraham believe? When it was so hard to believe in God. He did not have any children. And God has promised to him saying that your seed will be like the stars in heaven. That is when Abraham believed God. If we take ourselves in that very situation, then it would be a challenge for us to believe in what God says, to believe in God. But as we study that word belief, that word has the idea of certainty in it. Abraham was certain that what God has promised to him, he will do it. That's the faith that Abraham had. And therefore, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 also says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is the very faith that Abraham had when God promised to him during the time that he was childless. He believed God. He believed God. And what does the text say? And it, his faith, was counted as righteousness. His faith in the words of God, his faith in God himself, was counted as righteousness. It was not his works that he did, but his faith, the act of believing in God, that was counted as righteousness. That's what the text says. If we again study the word counted, what does it mean to have our faith counted as righteousness? The word count means to take into account. It is to credit something to someone. It is to reckon. It is to have something credited or given or put into your account as if it was your own. So when the text says it was counted as righteousness, then that righteousness became, it was credited to Abraham as his own righteousness. That is what the text is teaching us. But if we look carefully and then try to think about this, when the verse says it was credited to him as righteousness, does it mean that his faith is equal to righteousness? Does it mean that his faith is the source of righteousness? If we try to study other passages of Scripture, then we'll come to understand that that is not so. Faith is only a means through which we receive the righteousness of God. Faith is not equal to righteousness. What faith is it is a means through which we receive the righteousness of God himself. Let me take you through some passages of Scripture to prove that to you. Shall we turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. There it reads, "In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, Yahweh, our righteousness." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Shall we turn to that passage as well? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It reads, "But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Christ became righteousness to us. That's what the text teaches us. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. You may note this down, and I will read this for us. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 reads, "For not knowing about the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own," talking about the Jews who were not saved, he says, "they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. It is Christ who is the end of righteousness because he is the righteousness that is imputed to us, that is counted as our own. Christ is our righteousness. And therefore, Jeremiah 23, 6 says, Yahweh, our righteousness. You may note this down as well. Romans 3, 21 and 22. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Another verse for you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, where Paul speaks, more than that, I count all things to be lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. All his works of the law, he count them as rubbish so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God upon faith. What comes to you as I read all of these verses? The first thing is, it talks about the righteousness of God, the righteousness belonging to God. It is not our own righteousness. It is the righteousness that belongs to God. Another thing that comes forth is the word true, the phrase true faith. By the means of faith, we have received the righteousness of God. So when Paul says, it was counted as righteousness, he's not saying that faith is equal to righteousness. He's not saying that faith is the source of righteousness. What he is saying is that faith, and only faith, is the means through which we received the righteousness which is from God. Who has earned that righteousness for us? It is Jesus Christ himself. He came to this world. He lived the perfect life. He was tempted at all levels and yet without sin. Christ also says to John the Baptist when he asks of him, why do you come to me to be baptized? Christ says to him, it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. He was earning our righteousness as he lived for 33 and a half years on this earth. He was earning the righteousness which he graciously gives and imputes to us. That is the righteousness that we receive. It is not our own righteousness. We do not have righteousness in and of ourselves. But the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. It is credited to our account as our own righteousness. That's what Christ has done for us. So what should we do? Whom should we bless? Whom should we be grateful to? Is there any place or room for pride when we think and we know that our standing before God, our declaring of ourselves as righteous by God, is not by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ? which is imputed unto us. There is no room for pride. But it is only Christ. It is only Christ who is glorified. It is only Him. And we are blessed with His righteousness. Every believer who has put his or her faith in Jesus Christ is blessed. That's what Paul is saying when he uses the example of Abraham and says, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, just as that was done to Abraham, he says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, so also those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. It is the same with us as well. If you look carefully again, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Again, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, where it reads, So know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham. If you look carefully into that verse, then you will notice that Paul says he brings out a specific group. And how does he define that group? How does he describe that group as in verse 7? He says, so know that those who are of faith. What's the group that Paul brings forth here in these verses? It is the group of those who are of faith, not of works, of faith. Those are sons of Abraham. What does that show us? It shows us, first thing, that those who have physically descended from Abraham, those are not the only people who are sons of Abraham. That's the first thing that shows us. All the descendants, all the physical descendants of Abraham are not sons of Abraham. The second thing that shows us is that it is not works. It is not by works that someone is counted as righteous, or in other words, someone is seen as a son of Abraham. It is not by works. But what does it say? What does the verse say? It says that, so know that those who are of faith, those who belong to faith, those who have faith in them, those are counted as sons of Abraham. Isn't that what verse 7 says? Those are the sons of Abraham. Now, if we think about this, what does it mean to be a son of Abraham? What does it mean to be a son of Abraham? If we carefully look into the context, then we'll come to know that sons of Abraham means that they are counted as righteous. To be a son of Abraham is to be counted as righteous. That's what it means. Because in verse 6 it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So when the verse says that everyone who is of faith, those are sons of Abraham, it is saying that everyone who is of faith, they are counted as righteous. Believers are blessed. believers are blessed. Why? Because we who believe have been counted as righteous. We are sons of Abraham. Now, if we look into the life of Abraham and think about when he was counted as righteous, was it before he believed or was it after he believed that he was counted as righteous? Shall we once turn again to Genesis chapter 15, 16, and 17? 15, 16, and 17 of the book of Genesis. In verse 6 of Genesis 15, it says that he believed in Yahweh and he was counted to him as righteousness. That is in verse 6 of chapter 15. Then if we look carefully in chapter 16, verse 16, then we'll see that Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. He was 86 years old. But if we look carefully in verse 17, where God commands Abraham to be circumcised, then we'll see that Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. It reads from chapter 17, verse 23 and 24. It reads, "Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, even every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day, as God has spoken with him." 24. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. The sequence of this book: 15, he was counted as righteous. 17, he circumcised himself. What came first? Was it faith through which he was counted as righteous, or was it his works, his circumcision? We'll come to know that it is his faith that came first. He was at least, 16 verse 16, 86 years old when he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. But when was he circumcised? He was circumcised when he was 99 years old. Which came first again? It is his faith which was counted to him as righteousness, not his works. And therefore, since Abraham believed first, and only after that was he circumcised, it shows us that works has no place. It has absolutely no place in anyone being counted as righteous. Works has no place at all in our justification, in our declaring as righteous. There is no place for works. It is by faith alone. It is by faith alone. And therefore, we come again back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Where it says that, "So that know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham." What is the blessing of believing? What is the blessing of faith? It is by faith alone, that we are counted as righteous. If you have believed in Jesus Christ today, then you are also counted as righteous. You are also blessed. You are sons of Abraham. Without any work of your own, you are counted righteous. The righteousness of Christ is credited to your account if you have believed. And therefore, you are blessed. Believers are blessed. Believers are sons of Abraham. You are the son of Abraham if you have believed today. You are counted as righteous. That is the blessing that we believers have. If you had not believed in Jesus Christ today, then there is also a hope for you to be counted as righteous. The righteousness of Christ can also be credited to your account so that you will be declared righteous before God. So would you believe today in Jesus Christ? Would you receive the righteousness that is from God today and be counted as righteous before God? Believe and be blessed. That's the first point that Paul teaches us from the first two verses. Believers are sons of Abraham. We now turn to the second thing that he also says in verse 8 and 9, where he says that believers are not only sons of Abraham, but believers are also blessed with Abraham. We find that in verses 8 and 9. Let's read 8 and 9. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you." And then he brings forth a conclusion in verse 9. "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." If you look into verse 8, then the main thrust of that verse is the phrase where it says, "proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham." That's the main thrust of that verse, and I want you to focus on that. The scripture proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham. The first part shows us the basis of the proclamation. And the second part shows us what was proclaimed. So look carefully into verse 8 with me, where it says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham." Here, the scripture is personified as a person. It is being looked as a person who is able to foresee and also able to proclaim. But what is the basis? What is the basis on which the scripture proclaimed the gospel? The basis is foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. This gospel was proclaimed to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. How was it able to do that? How was scripture able to do that? Because it foresaw what would happen in the future. And what would happen in the future? It foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Not by the works of the law again. It is by faith that God would justify the Gentiles. That was the plan of God, that he would justify the Gentiles by faith. And therefore, Scripture was able to proclaim that gospel to Abraham, that the Gentiles will be justified, not by the works of the law, but by faith. Verse 8 says, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying what? All the nations will be blessed in you. This verse, this section, the last part of this verse is from Genesis chapter 12. Shall we turn to that again? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3. It reads, and Yahweh said to Abraham, go forth from your land and from your kin and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The last phrases, the last clause of this verse 3 says, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is what is quoted in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says that all the nations will be blessed in you. God promised that. He proclaimed the gospel, and that was recorded for us in Scripture. Why? Because he foresaw that when time will come, God will justify the Gentiles by faith. And therefore, he proclaimed to Abraham that all nations, Jews and Gentiles included, will be blessed in Abraham, through whom will come the Christ, the promised Messiah. And it was in accordance to that gospel that was proclaimed to Abraham and which we have recorded in Scriptures. It is in accordance to that gospel which was proclaimed thousands of years ago, that it is in accordance to that gospel because of which Paul comes in verse 9 and then says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. It is in accordance to that gospel. And he comes in verse 9 and then says, so then, those who are of faith. The same words which he used in verse 7. Those who are of faith. Not of works again, but those who are of faith. Those are blessed with Abraham the believer. What is the blessing again? What is the blessing? How were believers blessed? And how are believers blessed even today? What is that blessing? It is again justification by faith, which is said in verse 11. God will justify the Gentiles by faith. And therefore, everyone who believes, everyone who is a believer, is blessed with justification. He is blessed with righteousness. That is the blessing of faith. Believers are sons of Abraham, and believers are blessed with Abraham. A person who struggled with his assurance was John Bunyan. And he, thinking of the righteousness that is in Christ, speaks to us today through these words, which he writes down. These This is a quote from Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners by John Bunyan. He says, "But one day, as I was passing in the field, and that too with some dashes on my conscience, fearing lest yet all was not right, suddenly this sentence fell upon my soul. Thy righteousness is in heaven. And methought withal, I saw with the eyes of my soul Jesus Christ at God's right hand. There, I say, was my righteousness, so that wherever I was or whatever I was doing, God could not say of me, He wants my righteousness, for that was just before Him. I also saw, moreover, that it was not my good frame of heart that made me my righteousness better, not my bad frame that made my righteousness worse. For my righteousness was Jesus Christ Himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever." If you are struggling with your own struggles with sin today, look to Christ. He is your righteousness. It is not because of your good standing today with God that you are declared righteous. It is not because of your bad standing with God today that you are declared righteous, but it is because of what Christ has done for you. He is your righteousness. And therefore, the burden of trying to please God by doing everything that we can has been lifted up, because Christ is our righteousness. He has blessed us because we have believed, and that belief was also given to us by His grace. Everything comes from God. We are blessed today if we believe in Jesus Christ. We are blessed today if we believe in Jesus Christ. We are sons of Abraham, inheritors of the promises, if we believe today. Christ has done it all for us. "It is finished," He cried out, "and that righteousness is given to you and to me." That righteousness is our own. And therefore, we can go to the throne of grace with confidence because of who Christ is. I end today's sermon by reminding you of the words of this song, "His Robes for Mine." "His robes for mine, O wonderful exchange, clothed in my sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died. His robes for mine, what cause have I to dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life." Let's look to God in prayer. Our gracious Father, I am thankful to You. I'm grateful to You, Lord, that You have imputed the righteousness of Your Son, Jesus Christ, upon us who would believe in Him. We are blessed. We know that. We are sons of Abraham. We know that, for Your Bible tells us so. And Lord, we thank You that You, by Your grace, have given to us that righteousness because of which we can stand righteous before God. We fall short of the demands of the law. We fall short to be right with God. And yet You, in Your grace, Your love and mercy, have paved for us a way that through faith we may have the righteousness of God. And we have it, Lord. So we are thankful to you and we are grateful to you for that righteousness that is ours. I also pray, Father, for anyone who is not saved today, who does not have the righteousness of God imputed to them yet. I pray that, Lord, they would also believe, knowing that whoever believes, whoever is of faith, will be saved, will be blessed with the righteousness that is from God. So change them today, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.